Welcome to Tarat Imacha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yoshua, Perek Kaf Beis, 22nd chapter. A quick recap of what we learned yesterday in Perek Kaf Aleph. The heads of the different families in the tribe of Levi had approached Yoshua to receive their cities. The different tribes in their groups had donated different cities from their nachalos, and a lottery is drawn for the 48 cities for Shevet Levi, which included the six Arei Miklat cities of refuge. The distribution of all of the nachalos in Eretz Yisrael is now complete, and the perek ended telling us that Klal Yisrael lacked for nothing. In our perek today, Reuven, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh were thanked by Yehoshua for keeping the promise that they had made to Moshe to fight with their brethren until everyone had received their inheritance, and now they were being sent home Me'eva Haryardin, to the eastern banks of the Jordan River, to the land that they had inherited. The two and a half tribes are blessed with extra wealth. The second half of the perek is a very difficult story of how a misunderstanding on Klal Yisrael's part towards these two and a half tribes almost led to a civil war. A perek today, perek Kaf Beis Pasuk Aleph. Oz Yikramot Yehoshua L'Reuveni V'Lagadi V'Lachati Mate Manasseh. And now Yehoshua calls over to Reuven, God, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. Yehoshua lives in his city in the portion of Ephraim, in the Hare Ephraim, in a city called Timnas Serach. And that's where these two and a half tribes come to. Pasuk Beis Vayomer Alehem, and he says to them, Atem Shemartem Eskol Asher Tziva Eschem Moshe Eved Hashem. You listened to everything that Moshe, the servant of Hashem, had commanded you. Al-Shech HaKadosh tells us that Yehoshua was saying to them, not only did you listen to what Moshe had commanded you to do, in Perek Lamed Beis in Sefer Bamidbar Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Moshe had there told these two and a half tribes, V'avar lachem kol chalut et hayardein lifnei Hashem, ad horishu es oyevav mipanav. You must pass over in front of all of the other tribes, crossing the Jordan River with them, and you must be with them to vanquish all of the enemies in the land. And now they have done what they were required to do. Vatishmu b'koli l'chol asher tzivisi eschem. The pasuk continues, and Yehoshua says, not only did you listen to what Moshe commanded, but you also listened to everything I commanded you to do. And again here, the Al-Shech tells us that Yehoshua is expressing his gratitude and his, you know, pride in them. He says, you didn't jump into battle, even though that was what Moshe told you to do, to lead them in battle, but rather you were willing to listen to my voice. When I told you that we're going to be circling Yericho, that's what you did. When I told you when it came to fighting against Ai that we were going to do it by way of an ambush, you followed me, and that's what you did. And I imagine that for these two tribes, Reuven and Gad, Reuven, who we know is a pachaz, he's somebody who jumps into things. And Shevet Gad, who we know were tremendously strong warriors. We're told this both in Berachas Yaakov and in Berachas Moshe. But both of these two tribes held back their natural tendencies and listened to Moshe and Yehoshua's direct order. Pasuk Gimel, Lo azavtem es achichem zayomim rabim ad hayom hazeh. You didn't desert your brothers these many days until this day, or shemartem es mishmeres mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem. Rather, you did everything that was commanded to you by Hashem. And again, the Al-Shech says here, this was such a praise to these two and a half tribes. Not only did they stay the 7 years of conquering the land, but they extended their stay for another 7 years until the entire land had been divided up into the nachalos. They went an extra measure that they were not required to do. And in the language of the Pasuk, Ad Hayom Hazeh, until this very day, even though the dividing up of the land was now finished, these two and a half tribes still didn't turn back to go home. Rather, they waited until Yehoshua himself called them over to dismiss them. And Pasuk Dalet, Va'ata Heniach Hashem Elokeichem La'achichem. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted rest to your brothers. Yehoshua tells them, in the words, Me'am Lo'ez describes it, even though the entire land hasn't been quite conquered yet, it is no longer your responsibility to stay back. Rather, Panu Ulochu Lachem La'ahaleichem, turn around and go back, all of you, to your tents. This is to your families. El Eretz Achuz Aschem, to the land that you were given, Asher Nasa Lachem Moshe Eved Hashem Be'eva Hayardin, that was granted to you by Hashem through Moshe on the eastern side of the Jordan River. In a few short words, the Bereishis Rabbah paints a picture for what it was like and really the Mesiras Nefesh of these 2.5 tribes. And he says, B'sha'a shahayu Yisrael mechabshin mechalkelin et ha'aretz, at the time that the Jewish people went to conquer and divide up the land, Hayashevet Reuven v'gadim mahen, with Shevet Reuven and God with them, v'heinichu es b'nehem ketanim, they had left behind small children. Mishehenichu ben Eser, somebody who left behind a young boy of 10 years old, Matsuoso, when they came back, they found ben Arba be'esrim. He was now a grown man of 24. And Mishehenichu ben Ar Esrim, and somebody who left behind a 20-year-old son, Matsuoso ben Arba Shloshim, came back to find a 34-year-old fellow. Again, in a few short words, just to describe the incredible Mesiras Nefesh of these tribes. And now Yehoshua and Pasuk Hey tells them, Rak shimaru ma'od, only be so, so very careful, says the Metzudas David, af im tarchiku mimishkan Hashem, even when you are going to be so far away from the center of worship, from the Mishkan, still be so very careful, la'sosas ha-mitzvah v'es ha-torah she'tziva eschem Moshe ever Hashem, to continue to keep the mitzvahs and the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu, the servant of Hashem, commanded you to do. La'ahavas Hashem Elokeichem, to love Hashem your God, v'lalechas b'chol derachav, to go in all of his ways, v'lishmar mitzvos of God is mitzvos, v'ladav kabo, to cling and cleave to him, v'la'avdo b'chol levavchem v'chol nafshachem, and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart and with all your soul. And Pasuk Vav, v'yivarchem Yehoshua v'yishalchem v'yelchu Eloh aleihem, he blesses them, and now Yehoshua sends them, and they go on their way towards their tents. Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Ches tell us almost something slightly different. Pasuk Zayin v'lechati shevet ha-manasha nasan Moshe babashan v'lecheti nasan Yehoshua machechem. Here in Pasuk Zayin it describes how half of the tribe of Manasha had been given land by Moshe me'ever ha-yarden on the other side of the Jordan, and half of them had the Nachal Ahir that was given to them by Yehoshua in the land of Canaan itself. And in Pasuk Ches, v'yomer aleihem, this is Yehoshua, says to them, le'mer, Binachasim Rabim Shuvu Elohelechem, go back to your tents with this tremendous amount of wealth. Over Mikne Rav Ma'od, you have so much cattle now, Bachesav Zahav, gold, silver, gold, Vanachoshes, copper of a Vardel, iron of a Slamos, Harbe Ma'od, you have so many garments, Chilku Shlaloivechem, divide up the spoils of your enemies, Imachechem, with your brothers, with those who remained back home. And the question the Mefarshim ask, who exactly in this pasuk is receiving this most beautiful bracha? Is it, according to Radak, all of the 2.5 tribes? Or is it, according to Rashi, just a bracha to Manasseh themselves? Why would Manasseh need an extra bracha? So again, using the beautiful words of the Alshech, the tribe of Manasseh didn't choose to live on the other side of the Yarden. After Reuven and God approached Moshe Rabbeinu with their plea because of their large amount of cattle that they wanted to stay me'ever ha-Yarden, it was Moshe who appointed some of the families from the tribe of Manasseh to go with them and stay on that side of the Jordan River. And he did this, A, because he wanted the tribe of Manasseh with their intense ahavas Eretz Yisrael, love of Eretz Yisrael, to both keep an eye on these two tribes, but also to allow them to retain a connection and a link to the land. But now you can imagine, at this moment, half of the tribe of Manasseh has taken up their inheritance in the land of Canaan, and perhaps this other part of the tribe that's being sent or going back to the Nachal that they've been granted on the other side of the Yarden are feeling distressed. Why can't we stay in the land? We didn't ask for this. And therefore, says the Alshech, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yehoshua rather, is giving them this extra bracha, this extra boost. Pasuk Tes tells us, Vayashuvu vayelchu b'nei Reuven u'b'nei God v'chatzi shevet ha-manasseh me'es b'nei Yisrael, and they returned and they went, Reuven, God, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, departing from B'nai Yisrael, Mishilo, in Shilo, Asher be'eretz Canaan, that was in the land of Canaan, L'alechas el eretz ha-Gilad, el eretz ha-Chuz Aschem, to now go to the land of Gilad, which is a reference to the whole Eva Hayardin area, to the portion that they had inherited by way of Moshe from Hashem. You notice over here that even though the conversation started at Yehoshua's house in Har Ephraim and Timnath Serach, before they leave the land, where did they go? They go via Shiloh. And you can almost imagine, and I'm sure everybody relates on trips to Eretz Yisrael, and certainly as a tour guide, I know that however full the itinerary of a trip in Israel is, with trips to the Old City, trips to the Kotel, trips to Eir David, trips to the Kotel tunnels, could have spent an enormous amount of time in the old city and by the Kotel itself. It's always on the last day that people will say, is there just time for one last trip to the Kotel? Can we go on the bus on the way to the airport and make one final stop at the Kotel? Everybody just wants one more drop of Kedusha, one more moment of connection. And where do we learn that from? From right here. These were the first Jews to leave the land to live in Chutz La'aretz, to go home to Chutz La'aretz. And what do they want to do before they leave? One last moment in Shiloh, one last tefillah at the place that at that time was the center of worship, the place where a person could feel most connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what I want to focus on for a moment is, what is this Vayashuvu Vayelchu, and they returned and they went? Didn't we already see in earlier Pesukim that they'd left and they'd gone back? So the Bereishis Rabbah describes beautifully what took place over here. He says that the tribes of Reuven and Gad were the members of Yehoshua's entourage, and therefore Yehoshua, out of covered for them, accompanies these two tribes to the Jordan, to the Yarden, ready for them to cross back over. But when they saw, the two tribes, that Yehoshua didn't have an entourage back to his house, they accompanied again back to his house. So Vayashuva Vayelchun Apasik is the second time that these 2.5 tribes are now returning back to the Yarden ready to cross. And now they are finally ready to leave. Pasuk Yud onwards is going to be a very heartbreaking story. And as I was learning them, some of these Pesukim can really bring you to tears because you truly see echoes of them in even today's world. Pasuk Yud, Vayavo al Galilos Hayardin Asher Be'eretz Kanaan. These 2.5 tribes come to a place called Galilos Hayardin, which was in the land of Kanaan. Vayivnu b'nei Reuven u'b'nei Gad v'chati shevet ha'manasseh sham mizbeach al ha'yarden, mizbeach gadol l'mareh. And there, these 2.5 tribes build a mizbeach on the banks of the Jordan, a huge, enormous mizbeach. And the Malbim draws our attention to the words in the pasuk that tell us that they were still in the land of Canaan. They hadn't yet crossed over. And the Me'am Lo'ez tells us that this mizbeach, by telling us that it was a huge, enormous mizbeach, the Navi is trying to tell us that this mizbeach was not built for anything. It wasn't useful for offering up karbonos, it was just far too big. But what did this mizbeach look like? This mizbeach was an exact replica of the mizbeach in Shiloh. Pasuk Yud Aleph, what happens? Vayishmu'u b'nei Yisrael lemar. And the b'nei Yisrael hear, and they say, Hinevanu b'nei Reuven b'nei Gad v'chati shevet ha'manasseh et mizbeach al mul eret Kanaan al galilos hayardin el ever b'nei Yisrael. What are they doing, these 2.5 tribes? On our side of the Yarden, in the land of Canaan itself, they've built an enormous altar. They can't wrap their heads around it. What's going on? And they immediately notice that the Mizbeach looks like the one in Shiloh. And again, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayishma'u B'nei Yisrael. The B'nei Yisrael here again, this double expression, both Yud Aleph and Yud Beis of the word Vayishma'u, tells us that they heard and they immediately sprung into action. They didn't think to go and ask Yehoshua, but rather, B'yikahalu kol hadas b'nei Yisrael Shiloh, all of the Jewish people gathered together in Shiloh la'alos aleihem l'tzava, to prepare themselves for civil war. What did they think? They thought that either, God forbid, these 2.5 tribes have built a mizbeach with intent to offer up karbonos to Hashem outside of the Mishkan. Now that we had a Mishkan, it was forbidden to offer up karbonos anywhere except for the Mishkan. So either these 2.5 tribes are now intending to sort of make fun of the Mishkan and build their own mizbeach, or worse, these 2.5 tribes are intending to use this mizbeach to offer up karbonos or offer up to Avodah Zarah. And it was this terrible azus that fueled the Jewish people. And then in Pasuk Yud Gimel, they have a moment, a change of heart. Vayishluchu b'nei Yisrael al b'nei Reuven v'al b'nei Gad v'al chati shevet ha'manasseh el Eretz Gilad. These rest of b'nei Yisrael decide to send to the 2.5 tribes as Pinchas ben Eleazar HaKohen. They choose an emissary. They decide to send Pinchas ben Eleazar HaKohen. And Pasuk Yud Daled v'asara nesim imo, nasi echad leveis av. They decide to send 10 princes, one head of each household from all of Am Yisrael, representing the entire nation. Now, sending Pinchas had many connotations. The Alshech tells us that as a family member of Aaron, he was Aaron's grandson, and Aaron, of course, was Ohev Shalom Varodev Shalom. This was sort of a peace treaty. They were hoping to send an opportunity to avert war. On the other hand, sending Pinchas, say other Mefarshim, was a very clear message that we're about to go into war with you. Pinchas was what was known as a Kohen Mashrach Malchama, and therefore sending him was sort of a message we're about to be going into war. Pinchas, though, we know, has the Azus, the Kedusha of the tribe of Levi, the holy, holy Azus, and sending him, therefore, with both a hope that he could set things straight, but also a warning. Pasuk Tesvav, Tesayin, Vayavo b'nei Reuven ve'al b'nei Gad ve'al Chatishe ve'at HaManasseh. They come to them and they say to them, Ko omru kol adas Hashem. So says the entire congregation of Hashem. These are the 10 emissaries talking. Ma hama'al hazeh asha ma'altem be'elokei Yisrael. What is this terrible rejection? What is this terrible thing you have done against the God of Yisrael? Lashuv hayom, to turn back against Hashem today. Bivnoseichem lachem mizbeach lemaradchem hayom b'Hashem. To build up this altar today to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's this hayom? What are they trying to say with the word hayom? That just today, yesterday, says the Malbim, the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in conquering the land should be so fresh in your mind. Why already are you turning your back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do this terrible thing of rejecting him, either by choosing to offer up karbonos outside of the Mishkan, or choosing worse, to offer up to Avodah Zarah? And then they get really tough in Pasuk Yuzayin, Hama'at lanu as avon pa'ar. Do you not still remember, 15 or so years ago, what happened to Klal Yisrael and the terrible tragedy of Baal Pa'ar? Is this not fresh in your mind? There were 24,000 Jews who passed away there. And we know that many of them were not directly involved in the actual sins that happened in Baal Pa'ar. But HaKadosh Baruch was still nonetheless punished Klal Yisrael as a whole because of Kol Yisrael Areven Zel Azed, that every Jew should be responsible one for another. And now they tell them, Pasuk Yechetz, V'atem tashuva hayomi acharei Hashem. And now today, if you turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'haya atem timrdu hayom, and you decide to rebel against Hashem today, Machar al kol adas Yisrael yiksof. It could be that tomorrow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger will burn up against not just you, but against all of us. How can you do this, not just for yourself, but how can you do this terrible act for all of Am Yisrael? We cannot stand by and watch you do it, and we cannot stand by and watch tragedy happen. And in Pasuk Yutes, it's Pinchas who steps forward and offers an alternative. The Achim Temea Eretz Achuz Aschem, Pinchas says, perhaps you find that this inheritance, this land outside of Eretz Yisrael, is Tameh, it's not as pure as the land in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Ivru lachem el Eretz Achuzas Hashem. You can come back, pass over back into Eretz Achuzas Hashem, into the land of Canaan, the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted us. Asher shachin sham Mishkan Hashem. That's where the Mishkan is, after all. V'ha'chazu b'socheinu. And you can come and have a portion amongst all of us. Pinchas offers up on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, saying, we are willing to offer you, and this would mean, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that every single person, every single family would have to somehow make room for 2.5 tribes now. But please come back to Eretz Yisrael if that's what's bothering you. Come home. And Apostle Kaf Pinchas brings up the terrible sin of Achan ben Zerach, the terrible thing that had happened on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after one man had taken spoils in Yericho, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu had punished all of Am Yisrael for that crime. And Yehoshua says, you cannot make all of Klal Yisrael pay by you deciding to do this terrible thing of building this Mizbeach. And in Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Reuven and God and Manasseh finally have a chance to respond. Vaya'anu b'nei Reuven, b'nei God v'chati shevet ha-Manasseh. And these 2.5 tribes respond, v'yidabru, and they spoke as Rashi Alfei Yisrael to these heads of the thousands of Klal Yisrael. And in Pasuk Kaf Beis, Kail Elohim Hashem. Kail Elohim Hashem. They repeat these words twice, three names of Hashem, claiming an absolute belief in the one God. They tell them there is no Avodah Zarah here. You completely misunderstand us. And Radak says, by repeating Kail Elohim Hashem twice, they are saying, we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both as the king and as the God of this world, and also as the king and the God of the world to come. The pasuk continues, Hu yodea, he knows. Radak says, Hashem knows our motives, v'Yisrael hu yada. And now, Klal Yisrael, you also need to know that our motives were completely pure. We never had a desire for rebellion. In b'mered v'in b'mal b'Hashem, it was never our desire to turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to offer up korbanos outside of the Mishkan, to God forbid to do avodah zarah. And then Rashi says, they turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the end of the pasuk, and they say, El toshienu hayom zeh, Hashem, please, please, save us from all of this. Pasuk kaf gimel, they express again that they had no desire to turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now for the really heartbreaking line. Pasuk kaf dalet, why did we do this? V'im lo mida'aga midavar asinu et zos limar. You know why we did this, they say? It was out of anxiety, it was out of worry, out of fear. Why? Machar yomu b'neichem lebaneinu lemar. Perhaps some point in the future, your children will turn around to our children and they'll say, V'lashem Elokei Yisrael. Malacham v'lashem Elokei Yisrael. What are these people, these Jews who live outside of the land on the other side of the Jordan, what do they have to do with the God of Israel? We were so worried living on the other side of the Yarden. We were worried that in the future, our children would be looked down on. And people would say, who are they? What connection do they have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the land? Kaf Zion, they say, Ki eitu b'neinu u'b'neichem, we just built this monument that it should bear witness between your children in the future and our children in the future, that we all just want la'avodas avodas Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that there was never any negative intention here to serve anywhere except for in the Mishkan of Hashem. And the Me'am Lo'ez points out that the reason that they had built this monument to look exactly like the Mishkan was for this purpose, to show that we are all part of the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan. What a lesson in forward thinking by these men. What a message about the importance of acceptance of every single Jew. What a struggle that Am Yisrael still lives with for every Jew to feel accepted and part of this nation. Pasuk Lamed, Vayishma Penchas HaKoyen and Nesiah Eda, Penchas and these other Nesiah Eda hear what they have to say. And Vayita Veinehem, the matter was good in their eyes, as the Me'am Lo'ez, it was clear from the way that these men spoke that it was with passion, with humility, and with sincerity. And they now knew that they were telling the truth. The parak ends by these 10 men and Penchas returning home back to Klal Yisrael, and telling them the reason behind this Mizbeach, and civil war is averted. But look how close Am Yisrael came to civil war. Chazal tell us in Pirkei Avos, in the very first Sefer that we were ever given, the very first Musa Sefer, after we are told how the Torah gets to us, Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai Masra Yeshua, after it goes through the chain, the very first piece of Musar that Chazal tell us in Pirkei Avos is, Heve Mesunim Badin, be very careful. Slow down when you make judgment calls. Don't jump to conclusions because it can lead to disastrous consequences. This chapter becomes a lesson of leadership, of being able to offer the other side a chance to explain, and the importance of not jumping into things, and ensuring that every member of Am Yisrael is forever felt, loved, and accepted. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yeshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker in memory of our dear grandmothers Miriam Schenker, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer. He lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, and Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I hope everyone has a wonderful day.